A gruesome story leads off our newscast.
Milwaukee police found body parts in a Northside apartment, and now they wonder if they've uncovered some kind of death factory.
At least 30 people have been found dead at a hotel.
Police found parts of bodies, leading them to believe the man they arrested is a mass murderer.
C-O-Z-O.
Oh my God!
And welcome everybody to another episode of Lobotomized. I'm Kevin.
I'm Kyle.
I'm Amanda.
Yes, and Merry Christmas, everybody. Hope everybody had a good Christmas. You guys, everything go all well. Well, besides being fucking exhausting.
Apparently. Yeah, it was good and just exhausting, that's for sure.
Yeah.
I had such a great Christmas. It was exhausting, but my son's at the age where it's not his first Christmas, but it's the first Christmas that, like, he's going to remember. And every gift that he opened was his favorite gift. And it was so fun because it was like a way, I haven't experienced this before, but it's one of those ways that's like your own childhood Christmas spirit, like vicariously comes back out.
Yeah.
When you see that. So it made it, it made it really fun this year because he had a blast. So we had a lot, we had a really good time.
That's good. Nice. All right. So yeah, with, New Year's right on the horizon, I suppose. We're going to be talking about New Year's crimes.
So talking about holiday crimes is so fun.
Holiday crimes,
like, who would have thought? Did we start that with Halloween?
That was Thanksgiving. Was it Halloween?
Did we do 4th of July?
I don't know. I don't think
definitely
so.
Definitely Thanksgiving.
We definitely did Thanksgiving.
I don't think we did 4th of July.
Yeah, I don't think we did 4th of July,
maybe
though.
Maybe we started with 4th of July.
We'll have to look into that one for next year, I guess. But yeah, no, I know we definitely did Thanksgiving.
We did Halloween because we were talking about the fires.
Yeah, we were talking about, Devil's Night.
Devil's Night, stuff. But didn't we do Halloween crimes?
So, I think we did.
We definitely did.
Okay. Yeah, so, Halloween's before freaking Thanksgiving.
Yes. Yes. Normally.
Losers.
It is.
Dumbass.
I mean, in this universe, yes. So. No, that's cool, though. That's good. But yeah, no, so we're just kind of continuing this trend. Seems like a good one, and yeah, it did kind of deliver. Like, this is more like global scale kind of crimes, though. No, it's like, I don't know what you guys ran into, but like, yeah, there's a lot of like terrorism type shit that I was running into.
Yikes.
Apparently, they love doing shit on the first of the year. I don't know why, but
started off with a bang, I guess.
I guess. But yeah, so you guys ready to just get into this?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right, let's check it out.
Sure.
All right, so the first one we're going to be talking about here is the Istanbul Reina nightclub shooting. Hopefully I'm pronouncing that right. Probably not, but hopefully. So the Istanbul Reina nightclub shooting occurred on January 1st, 2017, around 1:15 local time, when a lone gunman attacked an upscale nightclub in the Ortaköy district of Istanbul, Turkey, during New Year's Eve celebrations. The assailant, dressed in black and armed with an AK-47, entered the venue after killing a police officer and a civilian at the entrance, then opened fire on approximately 600 to 700 people inside.
Oh my God, Jesus Christ. This place is huge!
Yeah, I know, right?
Yeah.
Killing 39, mostly foreign nationals from countries including Saudi Arabia, Lebanon, and Israel, and also injuring 79 others. Jesus Christ. The attack lasted about 7 minutes before the gunman fled, changed clothes, and escaped in the fucking chaos.
7 minutes? That is so long.
That is ridiculously long for something like this.
Firing off an AK-47?
Yeah, dude. Like, how many rounds did he fucking have?
It's fucking shocking ridiculous. with that many people in such a concentrated area. It was only killed 39 people,
yeah.
Surprisingly.
I mean, but he did injure 79 others. So
yeah.
he definitely wasn't missing a whole bunch. But let's see here. The perpetrator was identified as Abdul Kadir Mashiripov, an Uzbek national with ties to ISIS. Oh, yeah, there you go. Surprise, surprise. Who had entered Turkey illegally and received training in Afghanistan. Fantastic. ISIS claimed responsibility the following day, framing the assault as retaliation for Turkey's military involvement against the group in Syria. Yeah, I mean, they're always coming up with some bullshit. Well, sure, we did this because of this. Like,
so let's just and most kill of the a bunch people of we, random people dancing at a nightclub.
Yeah, exactly.
And most of the people we killed aren't even from Turkey.
Exactly.
Yeah. Like, dumb
yeah,
ass.
You guys are fucking brilliant. Oh, my God. So after a 2-week manhunt involving raids across Istanbul, Masharipov was captured on January 16th, 2017 in a hideout with four others. In September 2020, a Turkish court sentenced him to 40 aggravated life terms without parole for murder and attempted murder. Good. Fuck this guy. Along with additional years for other charges. Okay, so yeah, they're just basically life. Like, it's basically life with extra steps. 18 accomplices received varying sentences. Damn, so they ended up, they probably got, like, a lot of people during these fucking raids. So, like, while they were searching for him, like, if you got 18 other people that you're prosecuting as well, like, goddamn. The incident highlighted escalating security threats in Turkey amid regional conflicts and led to heightened anti-terrorism measures.
Oh my God.
So yeah.
It's assholes like that where you just like that sentences like that don't fucking do anything. Like,
yeah.
That motherfucker needs to be like drowned in like a freaking bathtub, brought back over and over again.
Exactly. Just keep reviving him as many times as you can. And, you know what would be fun is you kill him a different way each time.
Yeah.
And then, like, bring him back. But, like, do it in a way that, like, you can bring him back.
I mean, I can't believe that this place was huge. I mean, this was a huge nightclub.
600-700 people? Like, that's a huge fucking nightclub.
Yeah, that's giant.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God!
But, like, I love that, too, because, like, it's always these fucking dumb motherfuckers who are like, oh, we don't like how you're treating, like, how this government is treating this, so we're going to go shoot a bunch of people in a nightclub, because that fucking makes sense.
And, I mean, the crazy thing is, like, those, I haven't been to a nightclub in years, but they're so goddamn loud that I wonder if, like, everyone really even knew what was going on.
Probably not at first,
if there's hundreds of people there.
Yeah. Especially, like, that many people, like, you start, like, to maybe hear something.
You know?
You'll hear people, you'll see people probably running and screaming first.
Before
you really kind of know what's going on. And probably some of the people, you know, people who are running don't know what's happening. They just...
You just see, like, other people running and, you know,
okay, something's up.
Yeah. I'm surprised people, well, they didn't say it, but if people died from, like, stampeding, you know what I mean?
Possibly. That, I mean, if it didn't kill them, that was probably some of the injuries.
Yeah, absolutely. Wow. Oh, my God. People are assholes.
Yeah, it's fucking bullshit. All right, so who would like to go next?
I can go.
All right, go on. Yeah, I was gonna say it looks like you got it up and everything.
Sure,
so
yeah,
thrill me.
Thrill me. hold on. Wait. Which episode was that from us?
Night of the Creeps.
That's right.
Oh yeah.
Sorry, that was just like completely organic. I was like, come on, dude.
Thrill me.
Just channeled my inner
That's
Tom Atkins.
That's how he answers the phone,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah. That's amazing. Love Tom Atkins. Badass. Merry Christmas to Tom Atkins. All right.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to everybody, but you know what? Specifically, Tom Atkins. Merry Christmas to you, sir. National treasure. All right, sorry. Go ahead.
I'm going to be talking about this DuPont Plaza Hotel arson.
Okay.
This happened in Puerto Rico, actually. San Juan, Puerto Rico.
Okay.
Three of the hotel's employees were, like, disgruntled and about... you know what else? Money. So there was a labor dispute between the owners and a lot of the employees. So these guys decided to start a fire by lighting a Sterno can that, you know, like they'll use in like catering and stuff, like underneath, like in a closet filled of furniture. I don't think they intended for what what happened to happen, but yeah. Between 96 and 98 people were killed.
Jesus Christ, dude.
I was not expecting that.
That's not what
I
was expecting for you to lead with. Like, holy shit.
140 people injured. Catastrophic damage to the hotel.
What the fuck, dude?
The fire. A lot of it was like smoke inhalation damage and like burns. And like we were saying before, just with like the nightclub, I think there was a bunch of people in the casino area where the fire spread. Because, I mean, once it went up so fast. And they didn't have adequate, like, sprinkler systems, like, installed. They didn't have... This incident actually, like, changed a lot of, like, the laws that, like, hotels... You know,
Kyle, you never leave the table if you're on a heater. Okay. Never leave the table if you're on a heater.
If the dealer runs, like, you're good to go.
Yes, but.
But there was a bunch of people running towards the doors, but it wasn't. They're trying to push on the doors. It was the doors you have to pull.
No. And then there's
so many.
Getting
pushed and smashed into it.
How many people have gotten killed by pull-only doors?
Oh, so many of it. Like, so many. In, like,
All doors should be pushed. Push both ways.
Like that.
Push both ways. All doors should just be pushed both ways. There should be no pull doors.
Yeah, it's like bullshit. Restaurant doors everywhere.
Yes. Swing both ways. We have hinges that do that. It's fine.
Yeah. Especially big-ass places like that. I mean... Why not?
So basically they were pissed off that they weren't getting paid enough. And so they lit the hotel on fire with a bunch of people in it.
Yeah. Which doesn't make sense to me. I mean, you're trying to make the statement or something, but if you burn down the hotel in which you work, you're not going to get paid at all.
Yeah. No other hotel is going to hire you.
No. it sounds like there was small fires had been started, like, in the days leading up to this, like, I don't know why.
Kind of like little, like, hints, like,
sort of,
look,
yeah,
what's coming.
Like, yeah. And
maybe they just really sucked at setting stuff on fire. And, like, it took them like 8 tries to finally get it right.
Why not just protest? Or, like, do that thing where, like, everyone works at half speed.
Or what? You know, like, everybody just sits down.
There's other ways to get your point across.
Yeah, everybody just sits down. Like, there you go. Be like, okay, we're not working until we... figure this out. Like, there you go. Go on strike.
Yeah.
It's like, no, let's murder 150 people. Like,
well, I believe that's what I read was that they had planned, was that there was a big meeting with all the employees and the union and stuff, and the employees were settled. They're like, okay, we're going to go on strike at midnight tonight.
Yeah.
I don't know why they just wouldn't start it right
then. Then all of a sudden, Terry the wild card starts setting shit on fire.
But yeah, then these three guys decided to light the fires, and the whole thing went to shit. So, like, there's people getting, like, rescued off the roof by, like, helicopters.
Fuck,
and stuff.
Dude.
Like, this hotel got destroyed.
Wow.
And these guys, they obviously didn't know what the... They didn't really want that to happen, but yeah, they,
well, it did. So
they went to prison for a long time. Like, they went to prison for mass murder, not for arson. It was mass murder.
Yeah, of course.
Exactly.
Oh my God.
Yeah, good. Fuck them. 100%, dude. Fuck them.
Yeah. There was, the one guy, this is just weird. The older one, what is his name? Their names are kind of similar. It gets confusing. But Escudero Aponte, he only intended to light a small fire, but I think his was the one that was the sterno can under the furniture. So, like,
that's not going to be a small fire.
You really misjudged that one.
Small is a point of view.
Like, and there are probably, I mean, if it killed that many people, they must have not had smoke detectors everywhere.
They didn't, yeah. Like, the whole hotel was not set up right. But back then, before this, like, well, I said,
when
this
did, when did this happen again?
Early 80s.
Early 80s? Okay, yeah. Yeah, I mean, I guess.
Well, okay. New Year's Eve, 86. Mid-80s.
Okay, you guys should have been doing better by that point. Like, if I'm being, completely honest. Too.
But, I mean, we're talking about a Marriott resort.
Yeah,
I mean,
you guys should be doing better
by that
point.
They should have had all, you know, their own system in place. But at this time, all the, like, hotels just went with, like, the regional, you know, like, in, like, county, whatever ordinances were for whoever, wherever it was. But now,
like,
they're all like,
fine.
No, we have our own protocols that we follow because we can't have this happen again.
Yeah, exactly. Obviously, you can't be trusted. So
No. Yeah, this sad story to tell.
Yeah, it sucks, man.
A lot of A lot of casualties here.
Yeah, that was a hell of a curveball you threw there, Kyle.
Yeah.
Gotta be honest. I wasn't really expecting that.
I was not expecting that at all.
Like, yeah. I was like, damaged some of the curtains, blah, 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 you know?
Yeah.
Like, no, 89 people damage. Dead. Yeah. Like, son of a bitch, dude. Like, all right.
$1.8 billion in damages.
Billion?
Billion.
Damn.
Billion?
Well, that was actually the amount of money they tried to sue for with all the people affected by it and stuff.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So, but yeah.
Well, yeah, it's a lot of lawsuits. Yeah.
It turned into what is referred to as a litigatory monster. It's speculated there's over 1 million pieces of paperwork involving this entire court
probably
case.
Oh, well, you gotta think, every single person who died, they probably had a fucking family member who sued the fuck out of Marriott.
Oh, yeah.
And, like, that city and everything like that for not having things up to code. For knowingly not having things up to code. So, yeah, it's a big no-no. Not supposed to be doing that.
No. Yeah, it's a shame, but... Yeah.
Where did you say that happened again?
That was San Juan, Puerto Rico.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Yeah, Marriott Resort.
Yeah, Tony Hinchcliffe was right.
What did he say?
Oh, God.
Google it. He basically said that it's a pile of trash. So, he got into a bunch of shit by saying that Puerto Rico is a pile of trash, which they actually do have a very large trash problem. So it's also bringing attention to that as well. But... Yeah, he was right. So, Amanda, I suppose you're up. So, let's see what you got.
It's called the Manhattan Jewelry Heist.
Oh, okay.
So, honestly, if I hear jewelry heist, like, I feel like it's like a movie. Like, I don't feel like it's real. You know what I mean? It feels like some, like, Mission Impossible or,
there's
like
a whole category of heist movies.
Yeah.
Which I love heist movies.
We should start doing some heists. I feel like we haven't done a lot of heists yet. Like,
we haven't done any.
We should start getting into some heists.
Yeah, like, that'd be totally cool.
Yeah, 2026, we're getting into some heists.
So when I heard about this, I was like, oh, God, this is awesome. I got to read about it. So, and this wasn't really that long ago. This is 2016.
Okay.
So, we're talking what? Well, will be about 10 years ago.
Yeah, 10 years ago.
And so, first of all, on New Year's Eve near Times Square, there are literally 7,000 cops that are stationed at Times Square. Like, there's so many cops there. However, these cops really, if you think about it, these cops are at Times Square. They're not really giving a shit about the areas just beyond Times Square, okay? Because, you know, New Year's Eve downtown is crazy. You know, with the ball dropping and stuff, there's so many people there.
Yeah, they got all that shit to worry about.
On TV, you know, it's nuts. Yeah. I don't think I'd ever want to go there.
Yeah. So they really don't have the ability or the desire to monitor all of these areas. So in 2016, a team of thieves took the opportunity to break into a nearby jewelry wholesaler, Greg Ruth. I guess that's the jewelry wholesaler.
Okay.
And they stole $6 million worth of pink and yellow diamonds.
Nice.
Yeah. So they managed to get away despite the security cameras clearly capturing their faces. They clearly captured their faces, but still got away.
But not really.
But they still captured their faces, it says.
Well, like, I'm just saying, like, why wouldn't you wear a fucking mask, you idiot? Like,
who knows?
So, even like a crazy like New Year's mask, like make it festive.
Oh, I know.
You know?
Yeah,
this is, get yourself 2016. I mean,
get a sense of fucking theatricality.
People have smartphones at this point and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So 2 years passed without nobody was arrested for this.
They made
so it. But 2 years later, then police arrested a Bronx man, Demir Pesinovic. But it wasn't because they traced him for this particular break-in, but they discovered that he was the man behind a whole series of jewel heists.
Okay, nice.
Which is, you know, spanning over a decade.
Oh, nice.
Or spanning a decade, I should say. So
it's like the George Clooney of
Yeah. So that happened in 2016. In 2021, they sentenced him to 8 years in prison. Eight!
Nice.
8 years in prison.
You had a good lawyer, dude.
Considering, like, which is crazy, considering they linked him to 16 different thefts in multiple countries involving jewels worth over $24 million.
So he's an international jewel thief. That's amazing.
Isn't that incredible? And he got 8 years.
And he only got 8 years.
Guess
what? That's fantastic.
When he gets out for good behavior, guess who's going to fucking do a jewel heist again?
Yeah.
Because all they did was essentially give him a slap on the wrist. To me, 8 years
for stealing.
Oh, yeah, dude.
8 years for stealing over $24 million in jewels. That is a slap on the wrist.
That's fantastic. Yeah.
That's a slap on the wrist.
He's going to sound like a real criminal. He's a lover of fine wines and exotic jewelry and like fine cigars.
Yes.
Like, He enjoys stealing millions of dollars.
He enjoys living the high life, man.
I mean, that's crazy to me. And it shows that, like, I mean, he puts a lot of effort behind this because, of course, he only steals, like, specific, you know, for that one, he stole all the pink and yellow diamonds or things like that. So it's like.
See, then you have to know, like, you have to be really connected in, like, the criminal world to, like, be able to, like, pass those along and, like, to do anything with it, because I mean,
you're auctioning it off in these black markets, probably.
No. Like you're not just gonna be, you can't throw that down and you know, a freaking TGI Fridays and be like, give me a cheeseburger.
Do you guys card cash or diamonds?
Yeah.
Do you guys take diamonds?
Oh my god! But I don't know. I actually really enjoyed reading about that one, and I would love to learn more about it. But it's a freaking jewel heist.
Wow, that's fantastic.
And they wasn't caught for 2 years, and it was right like near downtown, like it was
it right
was near right downtown.
There, yeah, like it was under right all near those it. Cops' noses.
And but I guess
didn't they like cut through, like they broke into the building next door to the jewelry store.
Maybe,
and like they cut through like the wall. That's what I thought I read. Is they cut through the wall to get into the vault?
Oh, that's
the jewelry store.
That's fantastic.
All I'm saying is
which
actually
is just clever as hell.
I would love to interview this guy because I would love to watch a TV series about him as like the main character.
Yeah, Netflix, where are you at?
Seriously.
Come on,
I mean,
Netflix.
This guy,
you know you want to.
The most interesting man in the world.
If they linked him to 16, that means that he's done more.
Yeah.
You know, there's just no proof. He's done more. And like, come on, man. Give some, seriously, make a series out of this guy.
Yes.
I'd watch it.
I mean, for fuck's sake, you made a series about a gay man with his tigers. Like, you tell me you can't make a series about this? Like, what the fuck?
A guy that, and he lived, he said he's from the Bronx. I mean, he lived there. At least that's where they found him.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, this guy, totally watch.
He's like living like three blocks away from like fucking like where he stole him from.
Yeah.
He probably gets jobs at these places or something.
Yeah.
Who knows?
Yeah, I mean if they can recruit him. So.
Right. Anyways, I thought it was awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. No, very cool. Those robbery stories are always. I don't know. There's something like. Just cool about him.
I know, right? I know. I'm not
to condone like crime and stuff.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, like that like, one, like no one got hurt.
Yeah, it's
they
not
just
like he's
stole
murdering
a bunch of diamonds.
They didn't mention
like,
anything about anybody getting hurt. They did not mention.
Well, the building was probably empty. Either. So, like, you know, doing it at night. Everybody was in Times Square partying. So, all right, let's get back into some terrorism. So next one we're going to be talking about here is the Alexandria church bombing. So this occurred on January 1st, 2011, shortly after midnight when a suicide bomber detonated explosives outside the Al-Quddisin Coptic Orthodox Church in Alexandria, Egypt, as worshippers were leaving a New Year's Eve midnight mass.
Come on.
Fantastic. Good job, guys. The attack.
Don't they go off like a different calendar, though?
I mean, they might, but if it's, you know.
It said it happened January 1st, though.
Yeah, right? January 1st. So the terrorists seem to like pulling shit, like, on our January 1st.
Yeah.
So I don't know. But the attack, which was initially suspected to be a car bomb, but later confined as a lone assailant in the crowd, killed 23 people and injured about 97 others, Jesus. Mostly Coptic Christians. No group officially claimed responsibility, though Egyptian authorities blamed Al-Qaeda-linked militants from Iraq amid escalating sectarian tensions between Muslims and the Coptic minority, fueled by prior threats and anti-Christian rhetoric online. The incident sparked widespread protests and clashes between Coptic demonstrators and police, highlighting religious discrimination and contributing to broader unrest that preceded the Egyptian revolution later that month. Investigations led to arrests, but no definitive perpetrators were publicly identified, and the event remains a symbol of vulnerability for Egypt's Christian community.
Wow.
Yeah, probably not a great place to live if you're Christian.
Oh, man.
Like, I don't know, it's probably just not a great idea.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, you should be able to live wherever the fuck you want, but it's just, I mean, let's just be realistic here.
Yeah.
It's probably not that smart, unfortunately. I wish it was true. Unfortunately, it's not true. So, whatever, though.
Yeah. Maybe not.
Yep.
Maybe just do it, like, in your own house.
Yeah.
Pray to Jesus. I don't know.
I guess, yeah. Yeah, church is kind of a big target. So. All right, so when you guys got another one?
Okay, well, since we had a heist earlier, I have another cool one.
Nice.
Which happened on New Year's. Well, technically, it happened on January 2nd, but like the day after New Year's. So, this happened in 1972, the Pierre Hotel in New York City. The robbery netted $3 million, worth $27 million today.
Nice.
Was organized by Samuel Nalo Robert Comfort, who's an associate of a Rochester crime family.
Wait, his name is Robert Comfort?
Yeah, Robert Bobby Comfort. His last name's Comfort.
Okay. All right. Sorry. Continue. Just verifying.
Yeah, he's an associate of the Rochester crime family. Then
it's not the Comfort crime family.
No.
Okay. All right. Just making sure. Sorry.
First aid. Accommodating.
Okay. All right. Yeah, I was gonna say that's like the nicest crime family I've ever heard of. If it was them, you know, Rochester. That sounds more cut and dry. But
yeah, I wonder.
Yeah. Sorry. Go ahead.
So then there's Christy the Tick Fornari, associate of the Lucchese crime family.
Christy the Tick.
The Tick.
The Tick Fornari. Yeah. That was his mob name.
I guess so.
Nice. That's cool. That's fun.
Nasty bastard.
No, it's not. Right?
So they all carried this out together. Now, I don't know how like these guys got together. It sounds like they're not like a part of each other's gang, sort of, but whatever. They actually was listed in the Guinness Book of World Records as the largest, most successful hotel robbery in history.
Nice.
Wow.
Good for them. Way to go, Tick.
Yeah, I mean, This is pretty cool what they did, because they all showed up and, like, they had one guy dressed as, like, a chauffeur. They had already an alias.
They had costumes?
Yeah, they had
fuck
costumes.
Fuck yeah, dude, they had costumes. That's awesome.
Stuff, fun. All his, like, tuxedos and stuff.
Oh, that's fantastic.
And they show up and basically, like, they took the guard, you know, hostage. They brought a bunch of people into their, what their goal was is to rob all these the lockboxes of, you know, the hotel had for like the rich guests who like was wearing all their like nicest jewelry, you know, to their New Year's parties and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So they come down and like when they're ready to, you know, go in for the night or whatever, they're like, hey, take this, you know, this thing costs $40,000. So yeah, like put it in your box.
Mm-hmm.
I don't
lock it up.
Right. So yeah, they would do that, and they had a lot of the employees. They got everyone down, like, on the ground, like, handcuffed them. There was an odd detail here that said, like, if the person looked like they were ill or sick or something, like, they didn't handcuff them. They just made them lay down. I'm like, okay. It's like
Were they short on handcuffs?
No, they handcuffed, like, I think 19 employees. and security guards. They had
that's a like, lot of handcuffs three, to be like three just dozen sets of handcuffs.
Yeah,
like,
3 dozen sets of handcuffs.
How do you sneak up on somebody with that? Like you're just like clinking your you're ass right. off. Like,
I wonder. They probably had like briefcases or something.
Not sneaking up on anybody, dude. You can't be stealthy with that much jingling metal in your fucking pockets.
Yeah, that is
they just come with giant winter coats on, yeah. just like looking real fat.
Yeah.
Hey, yo.
clink, clink, clink.
Or they're wearing like a big top hat.
Yeah, right. They,
I like these guys, though. They sound like fun.
I know.
Yeah. I mean, hey, they were cool about it. I mean, they knew they're smart enough to like do this when, with because of the holiday, like there was only a skeleton crew working at the hotel. So, as you know, if anybody kind of came in, they like were polite to them. They're like, hey, you're gonna get on the ground and we're gonna handcuff you, but
well, at least they were nice about it.
Yeah, and then they just worked on like crowbarring open these boxes and just stealing all the jewels.
Nice.
Until like the shift was about to change when they like released everyone. They gave everybody who they kept hostage except for the security guards $20.
Oh, nice.
Their troubles.
Oh, that's fantastic.
And they got the hell out of there.
I know we just stole like $40,000 from you, but here's well, a Jackson
it wasn't
for your
the
troubles.
Employees. Yeah. I mean, it was the guest.
Yeah, yeah, that's
you know,
true.
So like they don't give a
so
shit.
Like all the employees like, yeah, here's $20. That's fucking awesome.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, freaking disguises, you know, the mafioso like tipping culture like yeah, even to the right. hostages
yeah,
like
right.
the freaking tuxedos like it's a cool story.
Now Jimmy always gave the doorman $100 on his way in.
Yeah.
It's like that kind of shit like right. fucking awesome.
These stories are so much cooler than the Thanksgiving and Christmas ones. Those ones are so scary.
I know, right?
Yeah, well, yeah.
Those ones are so scary.
I mean, I kept getting terrorists, so I'm glad that you guys got, like,
well, yeah.
fun heists and stuff like that. Like, yeah. I got shitty terrorists, pretty much, for the most part. So.
They did have some problems with trying to get rid of all this, like, jewelry and shit, so.
Yeah.
Without going too much into it, but, like, the concierge for the Lucchese family was asking like a 33% take on all this jewelry for him to like be the liaison to get rid of all this shit. And so like,
damn,
the one dude,
it's a hell of a cut, dude.
Yeah, he's like, fuck that.
So AC said like, 10%.
Yeah. So. AC ain't judging.
That's
great. So he did. He took some of the shit to Detroit.
Okay.
And along the way, I mean, like, eventually, some of these guys got found out.
That sucks.
You know, they get caught. But, you know, it's a just a that's a great story.
No, that's great. It sounds like very similar to that heist that they pulled in fucking Goodfellas and shit. Like
it does. Like it's
very,
like the
very similar to that.
Lufthansa.
Yeah, like yeah, the Lufthansa heist or whatever the fuck it's called.
It is similar to that because like there was like some disagreements and like all that shit like that happened with these guys.
Somebody
just
bought,
the
like,
same as they do in that movie.
Yeah, like somebody bought a fucking.
I
car.
Told you to lay low, motherfucker.
Yeah, exactly.
Wearing a giant pink fur coat.
Yeah.
Like, you idiot.
Like, where'd you get that dickhead? That's fucking great. It's fantastic. Amanda, you got one?
All right, I do have one.
Sweet.
So, we're going back to 1969.
Hell
New
yeah.
Year's Eve, 1969.
Nice.
Three gunmen broke into a Pennsylvania home.
Oh, fuck.
And killed an entire family of three. And they stated that this was not a burglary. It was actually an assassination.
Okay.
And the person they killed was a man named Joseph Yablonsky, who was a labor leader working for a coal mining union.
Okay.
So someone had hired the men to kill Yablonsky, and also the decision to also kill his wife and daughter, which... They're pieces of shit.
This you know? Dude, yeah, this dude was really pissed at that guy.
Yeah, seriously. And so Yablonsky, the guy who died, had been using his position in the United Mine Workers Union to advocate for the miners.
Okay.
So, you know, they were thinking that this hit had been ordered by someone high up at the mine. And what's crazy is that the higher up was actually the president of the union.
Oh.
Who, this Tony Boyle.
That's a curveball.
Yeah, the president of the union. So Yablonsky had run against Boyle for the role of president in the recent union election, and Boyle killed his rival to maintain power. So
Jesus.
Which is the insane part is, so Boyle, he had waited until after the election, which he won, which in order to have Yablonsky killed. So as a maneuver to avoid suspicion, you know, this had limited success. It says, for starters, after the election, Yablonsky accused him of winning through fraud. Okay, so he accused him of winning through fraud and pushed for an investigation. So Boyle's motive for killing him remained as clear as ever. So he was like, hey, this guy's a fraud. Let's look into this guy. Mm-hmm. So it says also Boyle embezzled union funds to hire these hitmen.
Oh, boy.
Dude, Boyle sucks.
Yeah, yeah. Boyle sucks.
And an investigation
Boyle
into
does
that.
Not rule.
No.
An investigation into that embezzlement led authorities to link him to the murders. So it's just a jealous guy. So here, Yablonsky was probably right. Like, hey, this guy's a fraud.
He probably was.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
If he's embezzling money to hire hitmen.
To hire a hitman.
That means he freaking, there's some problems. Sort of fraud, yeah. You know. And so he
at
just didn't
point,
want to get
caught.
At that
point, you're not above fixing an election. So.
No, God no.
Right? Yeah, absolutely. So this guy's like, okay, well, I'm just going to kill this guy and his family.
Oh, okay.
New Year's Eve.
What a dickhead.
Yeah. Yeah, totally. So, yeah, it says he ended up dying in prison. I didn't see this. A year after that, Wilford Brimley played him in a TV movie.
Oh, shit, diabetes.
Ooh. We got to get there. We got
about, oh my God.
It was called Act of Vengeance.
Act of Vengeance.
Wilford
All right.
Brimley?
Market dude.
Yep. I know. All right. Yeah, we're getting that. We're definitely getting that.
Oh my gosh.
I'll try to keep embezzling that money because you know, I got diabetes. So, diabetes helped me.
Ran out of ice cream. I struck my wife.
Then I remembered that my wife's been dead for 8 years. Yeah. Who the hell did I hit?
Who did I hit?
Who the hell did I hit? Wilford Brimley. Classic. Can't pronounce diabetes, but yeah, he's a good dude. All right. Well, I warned you guys. Let's go back to another fucking hotel bombing.
Jesus.
I know, right?
What the heck, man?
So this next one we're going to be talking about is the Nairobi Norfolk Hotel bombing. This occurred on December 31st, 1980, around 6:45 p.m. local time, when a bomb exploded in a guest room adjacent to the dining area of the historic Norfolk Hotel in Nairobi, Kenya, during the New Year's Eve festivities attended by tourists and locals. The blast partially destroyed the hotel's wing, killing 20 people and injuring 87 others. The perpetrator was Quadura Muhammad Abdel Al Hamid. Jesus Christ, dude, how many fucking names do you need? A Moroccan national traveling on a Maltese passport and affiliated with the Popular Front for the Liberation of Palestine. Oh, okay. All right. So, I mean, I would guess at this point, possibly in, I don't know if this is factual, but maybe like an offshoot of like Hamas or what Hamas turned into, possibly. I don't know.
This is 1980?
This is 1980. So.
Okay.
Yeah. So he checked into the room, planted the device, and then fled to Saudi Arabia the same day. Okay. The attack was motivated by retaliation for Kenya's assistance in the 1976 Operation Entebbe, where Israeli forces rescued hostages from Uganda with Kenyan logistical support. Oh, okay. So they were rescuing hostages, and that's what pissed you off, you piece of shit. Okay. Kenyan authorities identified the suspect but made no arrest because he fucking fled to Saudi Arabia, I'm guessing. So looks like he actually got away with it. And the hotel was rebuilt and reopened within months, symbolizing resistance amid rising regional terrorism threats. So it looks like this asshole fucking got away with it. I don't know if they ended up catching him later on. Hopefully they did.
Wow. But
yeah, the Kenyan authorities didn't make any arrests, but hopefully Interpol nagged him at some point. So
yeah.
Yeah, what a fucking asshole.
Or karma just got back to him and hopefully someone just killed him.
That's not good enough.
It's not good enough, but
I don't karma isn't it's not 100%. I wish it was 100%, but it's not 100%.
Yeah, for sure.
So but yeah, so fuck that piece of shit. And yeah. All right. Cal, you got another one?
Yeah.
All right, let's get it.
So I think we brought this up once or twice. There's not like a whole lot about it, but I mean, did you bring up that dude? I think we were talking about it, about like how when like cops shouldn't give serial killers like cool names.
Yeah, I think we have talked about that.
And you brought up like the weepy voice killer.
Yeah.
Or something. Okay. Because that dude did his crimes around New Year's. So
nice.
Find my note for that.
What was his name? The Weepy Voice.
Yeah, name was Paul Michael. Of course, we got a three namer here.
Of course,
Paul Michael Stefani.
Ooh.
So yeah, he. Let me see here. He only killed. I mean, I don't want to say only, yeah. But he killed three people, and he like brutally injured two other women.
Okay.
And basically, it just he's just a complete bitch.
Yeah, like, I was gonna say that's kind of what it sounds like. You said he's strictly going after women.
Yeah,
yeah,
five women.
Pussy.
Yeah, three were murdered. Two were attempted murders.
Yep.
But yeah, he basically
sounds like a pansy to me.
In like Minnesota, and Wisconsin, around this area, Midwest.
Okay.
He attacked these women.
When was this again?
The crimes from like 1980 to 1982.
Okay.
So, but what was the last one? He, at least one of the killings happened on, December 31st. Stefani beat Karen Potak in St. Paul, Minnesota. Severe wounds and a brain injury. And he called the police himself at 3 a.m. to report the attack. Saying, there's a hurt girl there, but he's crying.
She fell.
Yeah. He's crying.
I definitely didn't punch her in the face a bunch of times.
Like, I don't want to hurt people, blah, blah, blah. It was like, then stop.
Yeah, then stop doing it, you fucking piece of shit.
But, you kind of want to hurt people.
Yeah, you definitely want to do it.
You're just kind of hamming it up because you think you're probably going to get caught soon, and now you're trying to work on your defense. So
100%.
I don't want to fucking hear that, you pansy. Shut the fuck up.
So he did that. Well, the second one, she lived. I think his first and last victim lived.
I was going to say, so he did another one after that, right?
Yeah.
Oh, well, fuck this guy.
And he, this one he did murder in Minneapolis and with an ice pick, nonetheless.
Damn.
Oh,
I know. Damn. All right.
So then he makes his bitchy phone call again and was like, can't you find me? I just stabbed somebody. Like, I can't stop doing it. I just keep doing it.
Oh my god!
Well, then you need to die, my friend. If you can't stop killing people, then you need to die.
Then you need to die. Yeah.
I think they like tried to convince him to come in, turn himself in. So like they were like waiting because I mean this is just what you have to do back then. Like you just have some random person on the phone. You can't trace it.
Yeah.
And they're saying, "Well, I killed him. I'll be in."
Yeah.
Just, all right. And they're just sitting there waiting, like, well.
That's the extent of your investigation.
Yeah.
Like, we're just going to sit here and wait for him.
He never showed up.
Well, Chief,
imagine
he
that.
Said he was coming in. Okay. Yeah. Like,
did he say where the girl was? Did he say where she was? Or did he just say, I killed somebody?
It doesn't say whether he told him or not, but I wouldn't doubt if he did because he told the first one, and he, it's like he wants him to know.
Yeah, I guess. He wants him to know, but yeah, he definitely doesn't want to stop, so.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you wanted to stop, you would fucking turn yourself in.
Exactly. That would stop you.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, he ended up
But they didn't end up getting him?
He ended up getting busted because he picked up a 19-year-old hooker and took her, or whatever, after they were done, I'm assuming. He was taking her back, but he wasn't taking her back to the city where he picked her up. He was taking her out, like, in a more suburban area. And he ends up, like, trying to attack her outside in some dark, like, end of a road type place, is my understanding from what I was reading.
Just kind of, like, drove to, like, a dead-end road with, like, you know, the houses and, like, up the way a little bit and
do it there. Yeah.
But she put up a fight. He stabbed her 15 times with a screwdriver.
Damn.
And she was able to hit Stefani over her head with a glass bottle and cutting up his face and his head and stuff.
Nice. Good
and
for her.
In the meantime, somebody...
So she lived? She got stabbed 15 times and she lived?
Yeah, I believe she
lived.
It's a tough hooker.
Yeah. For sure. But somebody... A neighbor, somebody did hear this commotion because it wasn't off like totally in the middle of nowhere. But yeah, the guy was able to get, you know, him off of the girl and, you know, got the cops and an ambulance there and stuff. So then that's how he got busted.
Oh, shit.
Oh, fuck that guy.
The weepy voice killer.
The weepy voice. That's what they should do literally with like every single serial killer.
Yeah.
Like,
to completely humiliate them.
Yeah, exactly. Like, it was like, oh, we got Piss Pants Terry strikes again, you know?
Like Tiny Dick.
Yeah, exactly.
Bob.
Yeah, like Tiny Dick shit britches broke into another house and killed another woman because he's a pussy. So,
right.
Like, that's what they should do.
I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Do you have another one, Amanda?
I do. Cool.
Let's do it.
So, this is New Year's Eve, 1972. In New Orleans.
Okay.
So a man by the name of Mark Essex, he just says he wanted to kill some people.
Yeah, he was a real piece of shit.
He did not have he did not have a specific target in mind, but he decided that they must be white as retaliation against unrelated white people that he knew during his time when he was in the Navy. So apparently... there was an experience in the Navy, and all of a sudden he was like, I must kill random white people. Who knows? So anyways.
I think we should clarify this is a black man. So this is definitely 100% racially motivated attacks that he's doing here. So
he shot one 19-year-old police officer. 19-year-old police officer. Oh my God. And though another officer witnessed this, Essex managed to get away by throwing down firecrackers behind him to cover his trail. So
he just had like a bunch of black cats and shit. And he's like, get out of here.
I guess. I don't know. So he broke into a building, perhaps in search of his next target. And this set off an alarm that attracted two more officers. Essex shot one of them, which created a wound that didn't kill him immediately, but ultimately a few months afterwards.
Infected or something like that.
It must have.
Okay.
Though the other one managed to shoot Essex in response, and though dozens of additional officers arrived in response to the backup calls, Essex somehow managed to flee.
Damn, this guy's really good at getting away.
Yeah,
he must have had a whole bunch of black cats.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, who knows?
I guess.
So police launched a manhunt in the neighborhood. Their aggressive measures, which involved kicking doors in, soon had residents responding by firing guns of their own.
Oh, my God.
So not at the officers, but at streetlights to scare police away. Well, thank goodness. The officers now took the extraordinary step of calling the area manhunt off within a day of Essex attack. But police did end up finding him eventually and killed him in a standoff. And this happened.
Good. Fuck him.
Well, this happened because Essex reemerged a week after his first attack and he killed 7 more people.
Jesus Christ, dude.
So that's a piece of shit.
This guy's a fucking asshole.
And
fuck this guy.
I'm glad he's no longer around.
Yeah. And you know what? I'm glad that they saved the taxpayer some fucking money too and just put him down.
Yeah. Yeah, well, he was in a standoff, so they're just like, okay, there we go.
It says a sniper standoff. Was he the one posted up with a sniper rifle, or did the cops shoot him with a sniper rifle as he was like on a spree?
I don't know the answer to that. I don't know that I'm a, so I got mine.
I would think that the cops would probably be set up with the sniper rifle. You know, like they would probably have snipers like on the roof, especially if they're in a standoff. Yeah, so like you would have snipers. Yeah, you know,
right.
I mean, if you're a competent police force, like you would have snipers if you were in that situation, you know. So, oh, but yeah, that's fuck that guy. That guy's a fucking dickhead.
Yeah. So I mean, you have to have some sort of like crazy mental illness just to be like, oh, I don't like how they treated me in the Navy, so I'm going to kill random people.
Yeah. It's like, how does that make sense?
How does it make sense? It doesn't. It does not make sense.
It doesn't make sense. I don't know. But, all right, we just did that one. Let's stick with New Orleans. Don't go to New Orleans New Year's Eve and New Year's Day. Just, if you're in New Orleans right now, just stay the fuck home until, like, I don't know.
New Orleans is so, I love New Orleans.
I would love to go there, just not this week.
I've never been there for New Year's, so.
Yeah, stay the fuck out of New Orleans at this point. So, because this, what we're talking about next is the New Orleans Bourbon Street attack.
Oh.
And this one was actually very, very recent.
This was almost one year ago to the day.
Yeah, this was almost 1 year ago to the day. Oh, so, this attack occurred on January 1st, 2025 at approximately 3:15 a.m. when Shamsud Din Baha Jabbar, a 42-year-old Army veteran from Texas, drove a rented white Ford F-150 electric pickup into a crowd of New Year's revelers on Bourbon Street in the French Quarter.
There's so many people on Bourbon Street, too.
Yeah. Jabbar, who I would have thought would have been trying to fucking, you know, trick a homeless guy into going into a cave to get a lamp for him. But he didn't. He was doing this shit instead. But he had converted to Islam and self-radicalized amid the 2023 Gaza conflict. He ran pedestrians over three blocks between Canal and Conti streets.
I remember this.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. This was just last year. Then exited the vehicle armed with a suppressed AR-10 rifle and Glock handgun, engaging in a shootout with police that left two officers wounded before he was fatally shot. He had planted two IED devices in coolers along Bourbon Street earlier, but they failed to detonate due to faulty construction. Yeah, way
God,
to go, idiot.
Oh my gosh.
Asshole. I mean, I'm glad you
suck. We are so lucky.
I'm glad you suck at doing your terrorism, so... Oh, my God. So he was a former IT specialist with no prior violent history, but financial and personal struggles. He posted videos on Facebook shortly before the attack, pledging allegiance to ISIS and outlining his motivation tied to religious extremism and a desire to target disbelievers.
Okay, so you just target strangers.
Yeah, exactly.
I'll never believe that. How do you know those people are disbelievers? You don't know.
Yep.
What does that even mean?
Yeah, you don't even know.
What does that even
mean? You're being racist. Yeah. But no. It's a religion of peace, though. It's a religion of peace, like, totally. It's fine. You know, you just got to kill the infidels. That's all you got to do. It's fine. ISIS later praised the incident. Oh, fantastic. In its newsletter.
An ISIS newsletter?
I didn't know that ISIS had a newsletter. Holy shit. Did you guys know that?
They send out a weekly newsletter?
Yeah, they got a cookbook, too.
Oh, really? I mean, how much new news do you really have? Like, you just pick it up. Death to America. It's like, all right, yeah. Oh, it's the same thing it was, like, 40 issues ago. So, I don't know. But, yeah, the attack itself killed 14 civilians. From blunt force trauma and injured 57 others, mostly from the ramming. Jesus Christ, dude. Yeah. Fuck that. The FBI classified it as an act of domestic terrorism. Well, duh. Confirming Jabbar acted alone. I don't know. I bet that fucking parrot Iago was with him. So, but they never caught him, unfortunately. Iago got away, so I guess good for him. Investigations revealed he had illegally acquired the weapons and set a fire at his rental home to destroy evidence. In the aftermath, the Sugar Bowl football game was postponed to January 2nd with enhanced security. Bourbon Street later reopened that day, and the event prompted criticism of the city's barricade systems, leading to upgrades and widespread condolences from U.S. leaders and international figures. So, yeah, I would probably say that the barricade systems didn't do their job.
Yeah. But, you know, I mean, who would have thought you're going to have an F-150, like, pile drive at full force
just
right through there?
Through shit.
I mean, you're hoping that, I mean, to me, like, a barricade, you're just going to stop somebody from accidentally turning on that street. I don't know. Like, you're not expecting.
Like, most of the time, you would think, like, the presence there would be, like, you know, you would have a normal person be like, oh, yeah, I can't drive there.
Like, oh, shit, there's a barricade here. Like, you got to move.
Around.
Like,
you got to roll around.
At any given time, can you drive down Bourbon Street?
I don't think so. I don't know. I don't know the answer to that.
I know
that.
They have a lot of parades.
I don't think you can drive down Bourbon Street at all. Really? I don't think so. But, of course, I've only been there on the weekends, so I don't know if something changes during the week.
Yeah.
I know. Not sure.
I know that's how Nashville is. Broadway is. They started, because I never knew. I'm like, people are walking on Broadway. Is this new? Like, and I hadn't been to Nashville in like 10 years, but they were like, oh, no, they started, I think, on the weekends closing Broadway so you could walk on the street.
Okay.
But during the week, that's not the case.
Okay. Yeah, it wasn't like that when I went there. But yeah, I mean, if it's always closed, then they should just have some permanent shit there.
I don't know.
Yeah, definitely something cement.
Right.
Nice. All right, Kyle, do you have another one?
Nothing that I really like looked deep diving into at all. But I mean, there's a ton of things that you can mention off the cuff. Like,
okay.
I mean, what do we got? Like 2018, Denver, Colorado, gunmen carried out a spree across the Denver area, killing 5 people, wounding others in multiple locations. New Year's Eve, you know.
Mm-hmm.
What else is there? 1969, Westernville, New York. Man opens fire at a family gathering, killing 4 relatives, wounding 5 others, before dying by suicide the next morning. Asshole. A lot of people get very passionate for the new year.
I was gonna say, like, there's a lot of this shit with New Year's. Like,
yeah, I mean, you have these terrorists getting all passionate.
Yeah.
You got your Navy men who hate white people.
Yeah,
deciding today's the day.
I guess. I don't know, like, some of these guys need to calm down. It's like, look, mostly everybody gives up on their revolutions. Like, it's fine. Like, your resolutions, like, you're not going to follow through. You don't need to go nuts and start shooting people, though. Like,
yeah,
it'll be okay.
It's a New Year's resolution, not a revolution.
Yeah, seriously. Like, oh, my God.
Shut the fuck up. Try to be better.
Yeah, exactly.
So I actually found, as I was trying to Google to see if Bourbon Street was pedestrian only.
Okay.
And what was interesting is I actually found an article that was written right after the attacks, January 15th, where people, so it's pedestrian only during like certain hours.
Okay.
And, but I guess after this, they put out this article and said, you know, some people are demanding that section of Bourbon Street or, you know, a certain section should be 24/7 pedestrian. So that actually, that horrible, you know, thing that happened, it led to people wanting it closed 24/7.
Yeah.
I mean, it makes sense.
Those people on there at all hours of the day.
Yeah. Well, then at that point you can put something permanent like that. Yeah. You could put like the huge cement blocks around and, you know,
bars,
like those guys
are open 24/7, right?
I don't know, because I was never out that late. I don't know the answer to that.
Maybe they're not 24/7, but you can drink on the street.
Yeah.
Yes.
Which is, there's only a couple places you can do that.
Yeah, you can do that for sure. Yep.
Yeah. It's like New Orleans, Vegas, and Savannah. Like,
yeah.
Yeah, so there was like an online petition. And so who knows what happened after this? This was early January of last year after this. There was a petition going around who wanted the busiest stretches of Bourbon Street to be off limits to cars year round. So they were having just a big online petition after that.
Well, yeah, I mean, hopefully they got
it. Everyone's like drenched in alcohol too. Like,
yeah, exactly. God,
so much stupid shit can happen.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Nice. All right, you guys want to get into the next one here?
Sure.
Yeah. All right, so we got the Narsaq Massacre. This occurred on January 1st, 1990, shortly after midnight, when 18-year-old Inuit student...
Inuit?
Yeah, I know, an Inuit,
whoa,
huh?
Is this way up in Canada there?
This is in Greenland, actually.
Greenland?
Yeah, I didn't know there was Eskimos. I didn't know there was Eskimos there.
Yeah.
So Abel Michelson Clemenson carried out a mass shooting at a New Year's party in a boarding house complex serving as a club in Narsaq, a remote southern Greenland town in the Kujalleq municipality, about 250 miles south of the capital, Nuuk. I probably butchered all that, but whatever.
I've never heard of anything happening in Greenland. I am so
yeah. I thought they were more of a peaceful people
about
yeah,
this.
Me too.
Wow.
Like, I don't know.
Keep going.
Like, no one lives there.
Yeah, I know, right? So, intoxicated and enraged over a personal dispute with his best friend involving a girl at a gathering.
Well, imagine there you go.
That's what happened. Clemenson left briefly, retrieved a Remington Model 552 semi-automatic rifle from his parents' home, and returned with the intent to kill everyone present before committing suicide.
Oh, my God.
What a piece of shit, dude. Like, because what? Because your buddy, like, stole your girl or whatever?
I'm going to
kill everybody for that. Like, what a fucking tard, yeah, dude. Fuck, stupid Eskimo. So he opened fire in two upstairs rooms, targeting attendees in the head with 11 rounds, then shot another victim downstairs before fleeing home to sleep.
God, he was tired. It was a long night. Tired.
I didn't hear about this one at all.
He ultimately could not follow through with suicide. You fucking piece of shit. The attack unfortunately killed 7 people. Three men, 4 women, and critically wounded 1 22-year-old man.
And it said they're all Clemenson's Inuit. Brother. That must have been huge that for
was,
that.
That was like a so culture. It was like an Inuit
it's
party.
It's all his own people too. Yeah,
it's like an Inuit party. So, but yeah, I guess he shot him through the cheek, and he survived after hospitalization. His brother. Police arrested him later that day, and he confessed immediately. Diagnosed with who gives a shit? Like, diagnosed with narcissistic personality disorder. Like, that fucking
that
makes
means
it okay.
You're an asshole.
Yeah, that basically just means you're an asshole. Like, yeah. That's not like a disorder. You're just a piece of shit.
I mean, I know it's a disorder, but I think
it's really
it's
not.
Just like
it's technically it's a clinical definition of being an asshole. Like, that's all they did. They needed to fill that chapter in the book.
Yeah.
It's like, well, what do we call people who are just pieces of shit? It's like, well, selfish they're narcissistic, yeah. Blah, 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 blah.
But I kind of hate that they could blame it on a medical disorder.
I know, right? He was sentenced in March 1991 to indefinite psychiatric detention. This asshole got off, like, pretty much on this shit. Like, they sent his ass to a fucking facility instead of prison. Fuck that. Okay, well, here we go.
Oh, there we
all
go.
All right, good. There we go. So, but he was deemed too dangerous for Greenland's facilities and then was transferred to Denmark's Herstedvester prison for treatment. He was moved to a semi-open institution in 2008. Fuck this asshole. Denied parole in 2011, but granted 5 years of parole by Greenland's High Court in 2015, leading to his release. Man, fuck that. The incident amid Greenland's high homicide rate and lenient gun laws underscored vulnerabilities in the isolated Inuit community and prompted forensic assistance from Copenhagen despite weather delays.
Okay, so, I am shocked.
I'm shocked that they have this much of an issue.
I did not. Okay, so this is me being completely ignorant about Greenland.
Yeah, me too.
Because I just assume that Greenland is just, I know it's mostly
it's very
just a
icy.
Giant landmass, isolated.
It's a giant ice
but
cube.
High homicide rate in what?
Yeah.
Like, wow, I gotta look into this.
Wait, they have a high homicide rate?
Yeah, yeah, they have a high homicide rate and it's apparently very lenient gun laws. I don't know, dude. Just fucking, you know, background checks and shit like that. And don't let crazy assholes fucking have guns. Like,
wow. That's like, wow.
Yeah, I didn't know Greenland had that had those issues going on. I thought they just, like, ran around and, like, hunted moose and, you know, like, whatever the fuck. Or, you know, like,
those 400-year-old, like, Greenland sharks.
Yeah, there you go. Or something like that.
I will say there was one time pretty recently, within the last couple of years, I Googled visiting Greenland.
Okay.
I'm like, Greenland. I'm like, I always heard
go to
that
Iceland instead.
Huh?
Go to Iceland instead. Iceland is better.
Well, and I always
Iceland's
heard like
not a fucking ice cube.
Like, well, exactly. I always heard that Iceland and Greenland should have their names should have been
their
swapped.
Their names should be swapped
because
yeah, it doesn't
you know
make sense.
Iceland has greenery and Greenland is ice.
Yeah.
But actually, just for shits and giggles, I did Google to see like visit you know Greenland, and I'm just like. Not a lot here.
Yeah, not a lot going on.
Yeah.
So. But I want to, like, I don't know. I like visiting places that, like, aren't, like, super, like, the, I don't know, like, the not, like, highly talked about or populated places.
Yeah,
like, I kind of like that.
Really
not that I would ever go to Greenland, but just for shits and giggles, just looked it up. But didn't really, they don't have a big marketing for visiting there.
Yeah,
that's
really.
For sure.
So, this is Greenland. Why don't you just
let's
stay
see
the
if
fuck
it's changed.
Out?
I'll try to look it up again to see if there's any like anything's changed in the past couple
nice.
Years.
there was this other one. I actually
say, yeah.
This just happened today.
Oh,
I almost forgot about this.
Okay. Breaking news from Kyle.
Yeah. Indiana CEO says $400,000 worth of lobster was hijacked en route to the Costco locations.
Oh, that's fucking fantastic, dude.
Today. No, I heard that.
Today, yeah.
Nice.
As of, what are we, December 27th here.
Yeah.
Like, how? Like, freaking how?
I don't know, but fucking Land O'Lakes better fucking
how
watch
much?
Out.
$400,000 worth of lobster.
Yeah. Like I said, look out Land O'Lakes, because you're next.
Yeah,
like, you're fucking next. They're coming for all that
being,
fucking butter.
After being picked up in, Taunton, Massachusetts.
So what, typically. Did they just, like, did they make the semi-truck, like, pull over and they just hijacked it?
Did they do it like they were doing in, like, the first Fast and the Furious movie, where, like, they rode up on them and, you know, like, took their truckload of lobsters and shit like that?
God,
like,
I don't know, man.
Like, is that the kind of heist that we're talking about here?
I saw that in the drive-in, I think, and that was the last time.
Is it like
that? Was gone in 6 years.
Harry and Marv, you know, they're just coming out of the fish
they're
thing.
In the they're fish
just,
truck.
They're just hiding in the truck.
Yeah, they probably have,
God,
like,
damn.
They're just hiding in the truck. They open up the back and they're toss him out to Tim Curry. He's out there, like,
there you
just
go.
Grabbing the crates of lobster.
They finally teamed up.
Have a lovely day. So, wow. And, like, what are you going to do with all that?
It
appears to be
is this just have a seafood boil?
Fuck yeah.
Organized crime ring that actively targeting high-value goods.
There's
obviously,
a lobster
obviously.
Gang?
Well,
but
that's
I mean,
gonna expire pretty soon, right? Are they, well, they're still live lobster, maybe.
Yeah.
It'd probably just get filtered back into frickin' like markets in like New York City and shit. And,
yeah,
like, you
that's
know,
true.
They'll just be able to make a profit on it, and like the thing's so big that you know there's not as many questions asked. I don't know.
Yeah, it's like those dudes just selling shit like that. We're checking out in Philly and stuff like that. Like they'll just end up there.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, we saw those trucks just sitting there, just getting unloaded, filled with
fish
and shit.
Fish. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
They, yeah, that's the thing. It said, like, oh, the CEO said this directly affects our businesses and customers and employees because now some employees might not get bonuses and higher prices for the consumer. But I say,
Costco makes so much money.
You,
yeah,
dude.
Shut the
no,
fuck
no,
up, dude.
No, no.
I don't want to hear
did
this.
You, like, did you plan it yourself? Because you sound like,
mm-hmm.
Yeah. Like, so you said it was
$40,000?
$400,000. Still, Costco
still, go
makes
yourself.
So much fucking money.
Yeah. I don't want to hear boo.
Don't you dare take it out of their bonuses.
Exactly.
Like, take a hit. Okay. And if somebody stole it, don't you have insurance?
Right.
How does that work out? Mm-hmm. I mean, someone
it's
stole.
Very convenient for you to for that to happen right around your New Year's.
Yeah, I think Costco's bolts
of
bullshit.
Wait a minute.
I think they're
bullshit. I smell something fishy here, quite
possibly.
Literally.
Yeah. I think it's possible. Yeah. That allegedly they're doing something.
Yeah, no, so you have an excuse to fuck over your employees.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Costco makes sounds so. Like it. This isn't like a mom and pop shop who lost everything they have. This is freaking Costco.
This would be it's like if brand, one of us like dropped a freaking nickel on the ground. Like,
yeah,
that's about how much it would affect.
Yeah, yeah in fact, like, oh, now I can't buy Christmas gifts for anybody.
Like,
oh,
a national brand that you have to pay a year. Membership to be a part of.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so
they have all that. They have freaking gas stations at their store. It's like,
yeah,
give me a break.
Yeah, that's some bullshit. Yeah, go Sam's Club. That's where I go. I go to those commie bastards over there trying to fuck over their employees out of their bonuses by faking truck heists of lobsters. Who knew, like, all the bonuses were hanging in the balance of that one truck?
Yeah, seriously. Come on, man.
The fuck out of here.
I saw that when I got home from work. I'm like, wow, that's really fitting for today.
Yeah, it sucks for their employees. I'll say that. It's Amanda, do you have another one? Are you
tapped no, out? I'm, you want, I'm you good. You can go on.
Do you want to take this one?
Sure. Okay. Sure. Okay, so this is the Velistovo Katinji shootings.
I just wanted you to pronounce that.
Or Katinje.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I just wanted you to pronounce that. So. I was asshole. Like, no, you say that one, because I don't know how.
All right. Yeah. It's probably like Katinje or whatever.
Yeah, something like that.
On January 1st, 2025. Okay, so this is last year.
Yeah, this is last year too.
Around 5:30 p.m., 45-year-old Ako Martinovic carried out a mass shooting spree across Velistovo, Belize, and Katinje in Montenegro, beginning after a bar fight at Kefana Velistovo restaurant. Jesus.
Well, yeah, what did you do in there? You knew this was like the hardest word.
I know, right?
You did that on purpose.
Of course I did.
Okay, so let's just say after a bar fight in a restaurant, okay?
Yeah, there you go.
Where he was involved in an altercation. Intoxicated and enraged, Martinovic left the scene, retrieved a 9mm handgun from his home, and returned to open fire at the tavern, killing 4 men, including the owner, and wounding 4 others. He then drove to multiple nearby locations. What the fuck?
I know, right?
Including homes of relatives and acquaintances, killing an additional 9 people, among them his sister,
what?
2 children,
the fuck did she have
two
to do with
children,
yeah.
Age 8 and 13, the bar owner's sons. Holy fuck.
God damn.
And another family member and other family members before being cornered by police in Humsi near Katinji. In total, 13 people were killed, 7 men, 3 women, and 3 boys. One injured victim died on January 9th, and then 3 others were wounded, with 4 initially in critical condition treated in Podgorica. Martinovic, who had a prior criminal record, including a 2005 suspended sentence for violent behavior, domestic violence reports, and illegal firearm possession, acted out of retaliation for the brawl amid strained interpersonal relations. No ideological motives were identified. Police recovered the handgun, 37 shell casings, and 80 rounds of ammunition from the scenes. After a manhunt involving roadblocks and special forces, Martinovic shot himself in the head while surrounded and died en route to the hospital. Why did they even bring him to the
fucking
hospital?
Fucking pussy. Yeah, just let him lay there.
Died en route to the hospital early on January 2nd. The incident, Montenegro's deadliest mass shooting, led to 3 days of national mourning, cancellation of New Year celebrations, and government pledges for stricter gun laws, including mandatory checks for owners and an amnesty for illegal weapons. Protests erupted in Podgorica, demanding resignations of security officials, highlighting ongoing issues with gun violence in the region. Jesus.
Yeah.
Why does this guy got in a brawl and he's this like, I'm going to just kill fucking everybody. Yeah. And then I'm going to drive to different places and kill them too. And then I'm going to kill my sister.
Yeah. What? Watch, where these sisters and nephews come from?
Yeah, dude.
What the fuck? Like,
well, I'm no, it was the bar. It was, no, it was
the bar owner's
kids. It was the bar owner's kids. So he killed the bar owner and then he killed his kids.
Yeah. He really hated that bar, I guess. Like, I don't know. Yeah, that guy's a fucking asshole.
I bet he got in a brawl and the owner said, get the fuck out of here.
Yeah, exactly. You know what I mean? It's like the one bar in town and he got kicked out of it. He's like, oh, I'm going to kill all you motherfuckers.
Isn't Montenegro like a really, is that a really,
it's a really, it's a
ritzy,
pretty,
like,
yeah,
no, I, what
no,
am I thinking of?
I don't think so.
Is that a, okay, I'm going to no, sound really ignorant. Of, is that a country?
I'm pretty sure it's a country. Okay. Yeah.
It is.
Yeah, it's a very, it's a really small country though. It's like a little, it's a, you know, it's a little guy.
Yeah, I wasn't sure if that was like a city.
Well, the cities were, yeah, Velostovo and Cetinje, yeah, you know, if that's, you know, if I pronounce that right. Yeah, it's like a small country.
Yeah, I'm thinking of, what's that other place that has
Monte
like
Carlo?
Yes!
Yeah.
Monte Carlo.
Yeah.
With like the Formula One racing.
Yeah, they
and
do
stuff.
That, like the Grand Prix and shit,
yes,
like that. They do that.
Yes,
like,
that's
yeah.
what I'm thinking of.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. No, I was, yeah, I was totally wrong on that too. I thought this was in South America. way off.
Yeah.
It's like a Balkan state near Serbia.
Yeah, like by Albania. Yep.
Mm-hmm. I think I was thinking the same thing as you, Amanda.
Yeah.
Monte Carlo. I was like, what am I thinking?
Yeah, you're thinking
because
of Monte Carlo.
That,
yeah.
And that's very.
That's more more ritzy because they have like the Formula One races and all that shit too. So, all right. Well, let's say I can control this up here. We're gonna make this a little bit bigger and start doing that. Okay. Fuck it. Let's go back to another bombing.
Good old fashioned bombing.
Monaco. It's in Monaco.
Monaco.
That's what.
Okay.
I was thinking. So, Monte Carlo's in Monaco.
Okay.
So I was saying Monaco,
Monaco,
not Montenegro. Okay.
Yes. There you go. All right. So yeah, let's talk about the Palu Market bombing. So this was a sectarian motivated nail bomb attack on a butcher's market in Palu, Indonesia on the 31st of December, 2005, that targeted Christian shoppers ahead of the New Year's celebrations. A homemade low explosive device packed with nails and ball bearings detonated around 7 a.m. in a stall selling pork and dog meat.
Yeah. Jesus Christ.
Don't kill and eat fucking dogs. God damn it. It killed about 6 to 8 people and injured roughly 45 to 53 others, with many victims suffering severe shrapnel wounds. The market was in a predominantly Christian neighborhood and stood opposite a church. And authorities believe the location and timing were chosen to maximize Christian casualties in a province with recent history of Muslim-Christian violence, including earlier church and market bombings. A second device was reportedly found a few meters from the blast site and defused, and Indonesian officials suggested that militants linked to Jamaah Islamiyah or other related terrorist networks were likely responsible. Although specific prosecutions for this particular bombing were limited and folded into broader terrorism investigations in central Sulawesi.
What's with all these bombings, man?
I don't know.
Yeah, shitty nail
or just
ball
like
bombs.
No, not just bombings, but just mass injuries, mass casualty events.
Yeah.
Especially around this time. Like, what the hell?
Yeah, like, why now? Like, I don't know, like, why specifically, like, New Year's? Like, you think if you were, like, really going after, like, Christians and shit like that, like, you do that on Christmas. You know, like, you think that would be, like, a Christmas thing.
Right,
but I don't know. Nobody ever accused these people of fucking being smart, so, like, whatever.
Yeah, I wonder what we're going to have to look forward to here in a few days.
Yeah, I know, right? You know, let's see if there's fucking assholes want to pull this year, so... All right, Cal, you wanna take this one? You wanna tell us about the Cello Mall shooting?
Cello Mall shooting. This happened in Finland. Espoo, Finland.
Yeah. Espoo. Oh no, I was saying Espoo.
Espoo.
Yeah, like letter S and then poo.
There you go.
That's how I was pronouncing it. I don't know.
So this took place on the 31st of December, 2009. Cello Shopping Center. The attacker, 43-year-old Kosovar Albanian, that's his, part of his name, I guess. Kosovar.
Is Kosovar Albanian, like
from Kosovo?
I don't know. I don't know if this guy was named, like, after, like, that'd be like if my name was, like,
is
Irish.
Kosovar Albanian,
you know,
is that, like, his nationality?
Irish Olmsted.
Yeah, Irish Ohio United States, Kevin.
I would think his name is Abraham Scopoli.
Oh, yeah, I was calling, I was doing Scopoli.
Yeah, let's go with that.
Let's just go with Scopoli.
Scopoli.
Not, you know, Fast Times at Ridgemont High Scopoli.
Yeah.
But, you know, the different one.
So he kills his ex-girlfriend in a nearby apartment before going to the mall. 10:08 a.m. local time, Scopoli enters the Prisma hypermarket inside the mall and open fire with a 9mm pistol.
Fucking why? Why does everybody?
What did that have to do with
your
ex-girlfriend?
Yeah, like, absolutely nothing.
Kills 3 men and 1 woman, all employees of one store, right amid the New Year's Eve shoppers. Police evacuated and sealed off the center and surrounded the transport links while launching a large manhunt. Later the same day, Scopoli was found dead in his own apartment from a self-inflicted gunshot, bringing the total death toll to 6, including himself.
Fucking pussy.
He was just obsessed with his ex-girlfriend and just thought everyone in this mall was trying to fuck her, I guess? He decided to kill them all.
I guess.
Yeah. Or 5 of them.
That paranoia is real. Because, you know, I mean, I can't believe, like, he would. So that was probably her favorite store or something. He's probably like, I'm going to kill her. And everything associated with her. Like.
Yeah, probably. Yeah.
So she was probably fucking everybody at that store. And no, not doing it.
Somebody looks at her. He's obviously the guy that, like, if somebody accidentally makes eye contact with her, it's like, you fucking her?
Yeah. Yep. No shirt, no service, shoes. No dice.
Live it. Learn
Love it.
Learn it. Live it. Oh, my God. Fucking Eric Stoltz. go watch Fast Times at Ridgemont High, guys. It's a fantastic movie. It's a classic. Oh, shit. All right. Let's see here. You want to do the Westernville family shooting, Amanda?
Sure.
This one should be easier. This is an American doing this. So
the Westernville New Year's Day shooting was a, familicide.
And you don't see that word tossed around very often.
Yeah. Familicide and spree killing committed by 37-year-old Ralph Edwin McLaughlin in Westerville, New York on the night of January 1st to 2nd, 1969. Armed with a semi-automatic 22 caliber rifle, McLaughlin killed 4 people, including his wife, and wounded 5 others, most of them relatives and neighbors, during a rampage that began in his home and spread through the small community. Why?
Yeah, exactly.
Fucking why?
What set this off?
Yeah. This is the most I've ever said fucking why.
Yeah, exactly. And like every time. None of this shit makes sense.
After fleeing in a stolen Jeep and evading a large police manhunt overnight, he was located the next morning and died by suicide following an exchange of gunfire with officers. Mm-hmm. Why?
Hopefully one of the cops just shot him in the face and was like, oh, yeah, he killed himself. Yeah. Like, just wrote it up in the report like that.
But, yeah, the shitty part is, since he's dead, no one even knows, like you're saying, why.
Oh, you're, the hell you're, did he you're, do this? You're never going to find that out. You're never going to find that out, even if you do. Regardless of what answer he would have given, like, it wouldn't have made any fucking sense.
I've never heard the term familicide.
Yeah, I know. That was kind of a new one.
Yeah.
I mean, I've heard of matricide and patricide, but familicide, like, goddamn.
Yeah. Cool.
Yeah, your whole family.
Yep. All right. Jesus. So I guess I'll take this one. So the next one we got is the Highlands Ranch apartment shooting. So the Highland Ranch apartment shooting, also called the Copper Canyon apartment home shooting. Well, it's I like the other one better, was a pre-dawn ambush on December 31st, 2017 in Highlands Ranch, Colorado. Douglas County deputies responded twice to disturbance calls at the apartment of 37-year-old Matthew Real. During the second visit, he barricaded himself in a bedroom and suddenly opened fire as deputies approached, killing 29-year-old Deputy Zachary Parrish and wounding four other officers and two civilians.
Wow.
Real continued firing more than 100 rounds from inside the unit, forcing injured deputies to crawl away while they were unable to immediately rescue Parrish. After roughly an hour of sporadic gunfire, a SWAT team used armored vehicles to gain entry, engage Real, and fatally shot him while recovering Parrish from the apartment. Investigators later highlighted Real's history of mental health problems in his online videos attacking local law enforcement, which had drawn attention but did not result in intervention before the attack. Well, maybe it fucking should have, guys. Like, maybe it fucking should have. Like, you literally have some asshole going online and be like, I'm gonna fucking kill all these bitches. Like, I mean, thankfully we're getting better about that, but like, still not enough.
Yeah. And you know,
like so many of these fucking dickheads. Yeah. Like so many of these fucking dickheads, including like most of these like mass shooting fucking type guys. Like there's always some fucking YouTube manifesto. Well, not always, but like a lot of the times there is.
Like there's signs.
There's fucking signs. It's like, oh, I can't believe it happened. It came out of nowhere. No, it didn't. Okay? Like, I'm sorry, but no, it didn't. You just didn't notice or care.
How many times I've seen something like...
No, you chose not to
You chose not to notice, yeah.
Facebook was full of, like, all this hateful shit. Or
Instagram, it's just like, how could this happen?
A YouTube video. Yeah.
It's like, dude, like, I'm not saying arrest people for fucking YouTube videos and shit, because that's what fucking the British do.
No, but like, keep an fucking, eye. I mean,
but, you know, just like, you know, keep an eye. Like, if you see this same guy, like, trying to go buy a bunch of guns and shit.
Like a social worker maybe, come and talk to him or something.
Yeah, exactly.
Not arrest him.
Be like, hey, what the hell's up with that?
Yeah, what's up with that?
Because even something as simple as that can totally deter somebody as well.
Yeah.
Because then they know, like, oh, shit, they're watching me, like. Maybe I shouldn't do stuff, you know? Like,
yeah.
I mean, it could at least maybe help instead of just this whole, like, ah, he's fine. Like, he'll be all right.
He doesn't really, he's just joking.
Yeah, he's just fucking around.
He's in a phase.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's just his sense of humor. Like, that's just his sense of humor. It's fine. Oh, man. But yeah, that was the last one that I had, unless you guys got any more.
Yeah, that's about it for me.
I'm good.
All right. So, well, if you guys have made it this far, thanks for hanging out. You have been warned. Be careful the next couple days.
Yeah.
There's
not even a mention all like the DUI like coverage, you know.
Oh, drive safe.
Yeah. Drive safe. Watch out for bombs and stay the fuck out of New Orleans. And so I suppose until next time, I'm Kevin.
I'm Kyle.
I'm Amanda.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.